Welcome to This Is Only a Test, episode 17, recorded June 23rd, 2010. Today we're going to talk about iPhone 4. iOS 4 finally is out. The Verizon Droid X. Let's see what else. Froyo finally is fro-vailable. That was terrible. I apologize. And a whole lot more on, as always, on This Is Only a Test. So, special guest this week. Always announce my dear friend Norman Chan first.
Hello. See, I'm just a little sadder.
Norm has some serious iPhone 4 envy today. From a man who swore a mere month ago he was not going to buy an iPhone 4, now he is visibly lusting after this device.
Let's make it clear. My commitment was that if I could not get the iPhone 4 with a subsidy, I would wait till next year. And then AT&T
came through.
They said, you know what? Here is iPhone 4.
They said, we're sticking the needle right in your vein again.
And you would be a fool not to take advantage of the subsidy.
Let's get you hooked before... before the AT&T exclusivity is up. That's what they
right.
were thinking. And of course, very special guest, a dear friend of mine, former editor-in-chief of PC Gamer, screenwriter of The Book of Eli. What else have you done, Gary?
What have you done for us lately?
Proprietor of BaconAficionado.com.
Which has been a little bit sleepy of late. But
And iPhone 4 owner.
Gary Whitta, yes. Owner, yes. Special guest merely by the fact that the FedEx guy came to his house early in the day today.
Chosen.
How are you feeling, Gary?
I'm feeling pretty special.
Do you have some serious purchase afterglow?
Unwashed iPhone 4-less rabble that I'm surrounded by.
I
feel like I'm better than you.
You are.
I mean, there's no doubt. Generally how I feel, but a little more so.
We always know that
today
you're always better than Norm. But in this case, I think you're better than me too.
That goes without saying. But better than both of you at once. That's quite the achievement.
Yes. So Gary has his iPhone. I've seen the screen in person. I have to say the big talk on the iPhone, and I think the big upgrade for current iPhone owners is the Retina display. I don't usually buy into the marketing hype, but actually after seeing it in person, it is a really impressive screen. I mean, let's talk about how it compares to the Nexus and the Incredible, because that's clearly it's immediately apparently bet superior to the 3GS.
That was a big thing, right?
So to the Nexus.
3GS came out last year, and I feel like a fool for paying, you know, anyone should feel like a fool for paying $300 or more for that. Nexus One came out and the Incredible came out last year. The screen was the thing everyone talked about for that one, OLED, right? And last year, if you listen to old Maximum PC podcast, I said I want an OLED screen on the next iPhone. That's the big jump. And Apple came out and said,
"You totally backpedaled on
no
that."
No OLED. We don't care about that. They want IPS. They went with pixel density. And we did a quick, you know, comparison test between the Nexus One and the Incredible and the iPhone 4. And it's clear the iPhone 4 is it's better.
It's not like
it's
paper.
Better, but it's better in ways that you can't.
It doesn't photograph well. I mean, I can see how photographing.
There's yet to be that I've seen an online video or a photograph that really communicates what you see when you see it with the naked eye.
Yes.
And clearly, over the 3GS, night and day different. Like more than 100 times better in terms of how clear it looks.
Yes.
In terms of some of the Droid phones, and this is one of the areas where I felt like the Droid phones.
You're talking about the Android phones, just to be clear.
Sorry, the Android phones, like the
OLED ones, right?
Like the Droid. You know, when I have. You know, I occasionally, you know, I'll walk by the Verizon counter at the mall, and I'll play with one. And I thought, oh, you know, I don't particularly like Android. There are other things about those phones that I find irritating, but the higher resolution on the screen, you do feel a little bit chunky when you go back to the iPhone.
Oh,
this has matched that and then gone, I would say, at least a little bit beyond it. When you put the Nexus One and the Incredible next to the iPhone, they all look great, but the iPhone 4 looks just a little bit better.
No doubt.
Based on the settings you have right now, one thing I notice is with the Incredible, it looks really OLED looks really bright. Like blacks are really black, and the whites are really bright. It almost hurts your eyes a little bit. I mean, it's great for looking at pictures. The iPhone 4, I think, based with the settings you had, I don't think you had full brightness.
I think he was on auto brightness.
It's very comfortable. It's sharp, but it doesn't look like it's emitting a lot of light, but still clear.
The other thing that's really, really impressive, and if anyone was watching the live stream, the video stream earlier, they'll have noticed, I certainly did when I was looking at on the monitor, was we had a 3GS and an iPhone 4 next to each other, and the IPS makes a huge difference when looking, when you're not looking dead on.
Well, there's a couple of things, right? First is that the screen seems, the LCD seems to be closer to the glass, so it's less like you're looking into the phone.
Because the image is on the glass,
right on the glass,
some way
yeah.
under the glass.
Yeah, but yeah, the viewing angle on the iPhone 4 was wildly improved
to
the 3GS.
As we turned the two phones, the 3GS and the iPhone 4, at the same angle, you could see the 3GS screen image.
We could watch it break down. Yeah,
you could watch. You could, because you're not really looking at it dead on. The iPhone 4 image remained. It was almost like, I made this observation before. It's almost like the dummy sticker that you see on front of a fake, you know,
yeah.
when they have the not real
yeah.
phone.
Yeah, like
the
thin film that's
because,
on the, yeah.
Because the image remains perfectly clear and the colors are vibrant no matter how oblique the angle is.
I mean, basically, you could look at the screen and it looked pretty good as flat as you could get the screen and still be able to see the screen inside. It's definitely a better looking phone screen than anything I've seen.
But
what
can you do on the iPhone 4? I'm just going to play devil's advocate right now. What can you do? What can the screen enable that you couldn't do before?
Well, the main thing it seemed like was text rendering was just spectacularly crisp.
Right. It's crisper, but I mean, does it mean you can read text longer?
We've had the phone for a few hours, so you know that's something that will be figured out over time. Well, I think one observation you made is it doesn't give you more screen real estate.
Right. It's not like the move from a 20-inch 1680 by 1050 panel to a 24-inch 1920 by 1200 panel, where you actually have, you know, an extra 20% of screen real estate, so you can have more icons and or your windows can be larger or whatever. The windows are the same size. The apps are, I mean, for the most part, the same size. It's not like your Twitter app is suddenly going to hold twice as much information on the column. It's simply that everything is rendered at a much higher
and,
resolution.
And, you know, without wishing to get caught up too much in, you know, hyperbole or the whole Kool-Aid thing, I would say you really cannot appreciate how beautiful the display looks until you look at it with the naked eye. I would go as far as to say that it's the most beautiful computer display on any device I've ever seen, and that includes my iMac, anything. Because even though other displays look better when they're larger, this, the pixel density of this, it's so fine that you're a
well-known Apple fanboy.
I am, and I'm sure
self-proclaimed.
I'm sure they will factor that in and notch this down 20% to get to the truth. But the text, you know, the whole Jobsian thing of this goes beyond what the retina can discern. Whether or not that's medically true, who knows? All I know is, you know, when you see it, he's right. When you absolutely cannot determine individual pixels, no matter how much you inflate the text.
Now, yes. How does it work outside?
Haven't really tried. I've been kind of scared to walk around with it outside. I mean,
because it's IPS, you assume it would be very similar to using like the iPad outside.
Some of the reviews so far have said that it, you know, it works very well. Now, the iPad itself is no stunner outside.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you get in direct sunlight, it's a bummer as well. So I haven't really tried that yet. Like I said, because it's not officially out until tomorrow, I'm not really walking around with this thing in the wild yet, unless it's going to be handcuffed to my wrist. But, you know, certainly, you know, in typical kind of indoor lighting conditions, it's pretty stunning.
Well, and it's too early to talk about battery life yet. We'll do a full battery rundown just like we did with the iPad. I don't know if we'll do a 14-hour live stream, but we'll do something that'll be interesting for everyone as soon as we get our iPhones. Probably, I would think, next week sometime. What else has changed on the, I mean, iOS 4 stuff we've talked about a lot, but the mailboxes, the multitasking seems to be a little bit faster than 3GS, not really perceptibly faster unless you're looking at it side by side, but the actual app switching seems to be a little bit faster.
We talked about the camera.
Well, let's get to the camera in a sec. The web browser, specifically when we were loading tested pages, on the 3GS, we were doing side by side and you could see the 3GS having to draw stuff that was already saved in memory on the 4, which
less
I assume
checkerboarding,
is,
which is
yeah,
always
less
welcome.
Checkerboarding, yeah, exactly. The cameras, the camera, one thing that I noticed immediately is that it seems like they're doing some image stabilization on the VGA camera.
Yeah, because you were kind of whirling around.
I was
with
doing
it,
some crazy
and
twirls.
You got a pretty stable image.
Yeah, you'll have to send me that video so we can post
it. I will send it to you. What else
we got? What else is new?
One of the things that we always talk about with why we like Apple products is just the fit and finish and just the attention
to experience.
So the simple things like the fast app switching, that little carousel effect is really elegant. We had a nice little discovery today where we were playing Pandora music streaming in the background, okay, through the, mm-hmm, through the background streaming. Yeah. And then Norm said, what happens if you try to override that with an iPod song? And we did, and we fired up the iPod, and we got a really nice...
Well, it stops Pandora, yeah.
Yeah, but even with a really nice crossfade effect.
And it held the state for Pandora, so it didn't reload the app completely.
And when we came back to Pandora, the song was right where we left it.
Exactly. Gyroscope, also new. We can't really test that yet because there's not really any apps
that Jenga
use it.
I think NG Moco has a shooter that's out today that's supposed to use it.
Oh, we'll have to...
The first game that's actually for iPhone 4.
We'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? Other big stuff. Of course, the new industrial design. We've talked about this a lot. I originally thought it looked pretty janky, especially on the Gizmodo leak phone, on the later phones. Even after the Apple reveal, I didn't like it. It looks really good in person.
I was quite vocal on the internet when that leak happened. Out. I was looking. I was going, there's no way.
It's a bad Chinese knockoff.
Either it's a knockoff or there's no way that's the finished phone. That's a prototype because Apple wouldn't release anything with visible seams and stuff, right. And obviously we've heard since then what the seams are all
about. The going bet was that it would be like the iPad, a smaller version.
I wanted the unibody.
Right, the unibody where this would be shrunken down, but that doesn't make sense because the aluminum prevents the cell signal.
Right, so until they figure that out, they've gone this way. But, having seen it in the flesh, I've kind of converted over to it. The whole thing that Jobs was saying about it looking like an old-fashioned, like an old Leica camera.
It does have that.
It has kind of a
50Z industrial
very
design.
Very industrial kind of look to it. And it just, because there's no plastic involved anymore, everything's metal and glass, mm-hmm, and it's the same weight as the iPod.
Is it cooler than the touch after it's been sitting? I haven't actually.
I mean, right now it's not even, it's nice and cool. But it just doesn't feel more like a grown-up?
It feels nice.
It doesn't feel like a toy or a gadget. It feels like something.
I'm going to do the pocket test, if that's okay with you. I don't have anything in there.
Do you have keys in there or anything?
No, just some razors, a couple of diamond blades.
All right.
I'll take everything out. Hold on. Bottle caps.
Yeah, we're not scratch testing this today.
No, I'm not going to scratch test your phone. We're going to do
that. There are photos already of iPhone 4 scratch.
That feels good.
Now it does take a little while to get used to because if you had a 3G or a 3GS, you're going to be used to that slightly convex, beveled back, which fits nicely into the
posture of
your hand.
I like this better. You don't have the slidey feel of. I mean, with the edge, because it's easier to grip. I mean, I think it's an improvement all around.
This is going to take a little while to get used to though, because it's a good bit thinner than the 3GS. And like, as we said before, if you have a 3G or a 3GS and you want to get a sense of how thin this one is, if you imagine these sitting side by side on a table, mm-hmm, this basically comes up to where the chrome part of the 3G or the 3GS begins.
So I have to say, you don't pronounce aluminum in the traditional English way, Gary.
Well, I've lived here for many years and I've sold out on a number of fronts.
So, okay, good.
Let's do a FaceTime test. I know Jeremy's on standby.
So we had a partially successful FaceTime test earlier.
Yeah.
Are you connected? Do you have him connected to
Let's do a regular FaceTime test.
Why don't we have Jeremy initiate FaceTime with
Mr. Williams, if you're out there in the cloud, let's give Gary a call. What we can do is have Jeremy, they'll look
I
at Jeremy,
around.
And then, that works, and then Jeremy can look
so
at
Jeremy
us.
Jeremy could be FaceTiming with your entire audience.
There it goes. Oh, it's a call.
Like FaceTime. Let me come around.
Yep, right there is the camera.
Let's see how this works. Is that going to work?
Yeah, lift it up a little bit.
Like
yep,
that?
Perfect.
All right, accept.
Accept. So it shows
Internet
right now,
users,
looking at you.
We're connecting.
We're making FaceTime calls right now.
A little
now.
Higher, and you're good.
This
yep,
is
going to
be great.
Good. Perfect. Hey, there it goes.
Hey, Jeremy.
How you doing? I'm turning the speed sound up so we can hear you well. Hold on.
I got to turn my. Oh, Jeremy's doing the radio call-in thing where he echoes through the call. This is Jeremy Williams from who you may remember from the PC Gamer podcast, the Maximum PC podcast, OXM cast, all the other future podcasts, as well as what was the show that you used to do with Colin?
Game Theory.
Game Theory, thank you.
So that's cool.
Star of many podcasts.
So Jeremy's looking at you right now using the VGA front camera,
right,
but you could press a button and then Jeremy could see us.
So if I press this little swivel button here, Jeremy should be able to see the rest of the crew.
Hello, Jeremy.
That's pretty cool.
Hello.
It's magical.
And
caller,
does
radio,
it look
please.
Any better than we did before in terms of the frame rate?
Yeah, you look much better. It's actually like a 30 now.
Frame rate seems better at my end.
It could have been. It could have been that our internet was choking under.
Or
the
you're
wave.
In a.
If I turn this stream, let me flip this back around. You can see what Jeremy.
Oh, so wave, Jeremy. Say hello.
Oh, that's that's very good.
Yeah, he's looking better now.
Now this feels like a call from the future.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And we didn't
smooth
have to turn off
30
our
FPS. You heard it here first.
Yes. So
this is a little bit like being in the future.
It is a little bit.
I want to propose a new test. Let's put Gary on the MiFi. So right now, I have a Verizon MiFi.
Okay.
Yes.
So this gets Verizon 3G connection, but broadcasts it out on Wi-Fi.
Wait, hold on.
And I'm going to link Gary's iPhone 4 up to the Wi-Fi and try to do FaceTime to see if Apple is lying about FaceTime only working on Wi-Fi.
So, like, is there enough bandwidth? Find out if we can turn a 3G signal into a Wi-Fi versus one through one of these and then have it work through that.
Yes. Is there enough bandwidth?
It would read it as Wi-Fi, so why wouldn't it?
With the bandwidth. So how choppy it is.
Yeah, is it a bandwidth problem? We'll call you right back,
Jeremy. We're going to get on the other network and call you back. All right.
So I'm going to go type in the password.
Okay, while
let's continue.
You're doing that, Norm, let's take a moment and talk about how FaceTime works. So FaceTime works. The basic upshot is you make a phone call, right? You make the phone call. If the phone detects that the person on the other end of the line is a FaceTime user, an iPhone 4 user.
iPhone 4, and with Wi-Fi.
And with Wi-Fi. Then the FaceTime button pops up in the middle, down at the bottom, where the merge calls button normally is.
Yeah.
And you mash that, and it says, hey, do you want to do video chat with the other person?
And
then they
point,
say accept.
At that point, it drops you out of the AT&T.
Yes, AT&T hangs up.
And creates a direct Wi-Fi connection.
Well, VoIP, basically.
Right.
VoIP plus video.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but that's nice because you're no longer using your minutes or your data.
Exactly. Exactly. It's really good. So
this is glorious.
So Norm did a brief lick test while Gary was out getting his sandwich.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that.
What does the iPhone 4 taste like, Norm? Mm. That's the question.
It tastes like retro future. There's a dash of...
salty? Is it a little salty?
No.
Is this
a dash
make,
of
does this
retina.
Make it easier for you to camp out overnight tonight or harder?
Harder. Much harder.
Because, you know, think of how good that camp out would be if we had an iPhone while we were camping. What if you could get the iPhone before you waited in line so you could play with the iPhone while you were in the line?
But
it's kind
make,
of a recursive line waiting experience.
That would make standing in line seem a bit fruitless. Right. Like there's no reward at
Well,
the
it's
end.
Like that episode of Star Trek where the people jump into the suicide booths because, you know, they were killed by the... They were killed in the war. It's
so
civilized.
I have... Let me show the guys.
Okay.
I don't want to show Jeremy's phone number, but I have the Wi-Fi on, and it is on Wi-Fi.
So the Wi-Fi converts cellular data into Wi-Fi.
Yes.
This is a Verizon gadget.
Verizon.
This
so this, if the iPhone was on Verizon, this is what the connection
would
be like. Let's call you, Jeremy, so I hope you're still watching. I'm going to dial your number. So if you can see, it's dialing Jeremy Williams, and also it's on Wi-Fi.
Dun, dun, dun.
Can't really see, but... Okay, Jeremy, are you on speaker?
Hey, okay. You gotta initiate the FaceTime, though.
I'm gonna initiate the FaceTime.
When you initiate FaceTime, I'm sure it goes to speaker automatically.
Initiate FaceTime 2000. It seems like FaceTime's such a kind of weird market.
I'm holding the Wi-Fi and the phone close just so I don't lose any signal.
Like, they obviously thought it was
working. Yeah,
connecting. It's working. Connecting. Oh, this is perfect.
Does it look
Let's
good?
See.
Oh yeah.
Wave, Jeremy.
Oh, that's spot. That's
Dance.
Dead on.
This is I'm going to show the viewers. Hold on.
Does it look bad on his end? The viewers.
Jeremy, how does it look to you? Oh, really?
You look really good.
Well, it's because our upstream is bad and his downstream is our downstream is good. So
well, yeah.
But this is coming off that though. It's not off.
So
yeah. But that I'm saying the upstream on the EVDO thing.
So
is,
you can't see us very well, but
so,
we can see you perfectly.
See, here's my issue with FaceTime, is that. It's not really that useful so long as it's restricted to Wi-Fi.
Well, of course
you
not.
Because you want to use it while you're away from home. You know, that lovely Sam Mendes video was all very nice.
Yes.
But, you know, we have to imagine all those people are on Wi-Fi.
The thing is, there's only 600,000
right.
other people I could potentially call
I'm
on FaceTime right
thanks,
now.
Jeremy, here. So thanks. This is
thanks for coming by, Jeremy.
FaceTime over 3G. It works for reception, but transmitting,
Talk
not so good.
Please.
Thanks, Jeremy. See
Bye, Jeremy. You'll have to come up to Sausalito and be on the show sometime.
So, I mean, we know right now that if they were to enable this over 3G, AT&T would just fall into a black hole and never come back.
No,
right?
We don't know
that.
That's what
possibly.
I would assume, though.
But so if FaceTime is a feature that you're really excited about, and that's the reason why you got the iPhone 4, but you feel limited by the Wi-Fi.
Yes.
A gadget like that would be a perfect
We don't use the word gadget here, Gary.
Sorry, a piece of consumer electronic
technology. Technology like that.
Piece of technology like that
Very good.
Would be a great compliment.
Yes.
Because really, it is a bit gimped until they put it on 3G.
I mean, I would expect that at some point in the future, there will be a phone network that involves FaceTime. It might be until it hits 4G.
For all the brouhaha,
yes.
And this was obviously a key feature.
Yes.
I mean, they had Sam Mendes direct a two-minute commercial and made a big deal out of it. Do you think this is something that people are really going to use?
No.
You seem very... You were straight there with the no. Like, this is not even an issue for you.
I am 100% positive that Norm will use that twice. He will call me at one point. Probably when we walk out of the Apple store tomorrow, We will be sitting on the Apple Wi-Fi still. He's going to FaceTime call me, and then he will FaceTime call you and probably Jeremy, and then that's the first FaceTime call that will ever be made.
This is why I think there should be a random FaceTime, I mean, because only people who can FaceTime are people who own iPhone 4s. Right now, it's an open protocol. There might be more devices later.
Kind of an open protocol.
And on Wi-Fi, there should be a dial random person on FaceTime.
So you're saying
so you want iPhone chat roulette?
I want iPhone chat roulette using FaceTime.
But you know that's happening. Like, it has to happen.
They should just call that the cock app.
Yeah,
because that's what it's going to be.
Look at my hairy balls.
Everyone would use FaceTime.
There's an app
that
for
would
that.
Get people accustomed to the
FaceTime. I would never use FaceTime for that. That is the last thing
I ever
want to see.
They should just call it balls time,
right?
Because that's what they would even use.
Welcome to scrotum vision.
But okay. So I mean, I'm not going to get a huge amount of use out of it. But
are you going to? I mean, when my
really
wife
like,
travels, I
don't really
I might
like
use
anybody.
It.
There isn't anyone that I want to see.
You barely
want to
come
face.
Up and see us.
I know it's hard enough to get me out of my den. But here's the other thing. I do think, in the TV commercials or in the Apple video.
Yes.
Where they're going, oh, it was like, I literally couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, it's really, I mean, anyone with a webcam has been able to do this for a while. The only difference now is you can walk around with a device in your hand, which is nice.
Walk around
it's
in
not
your home.
Like the future is really arrived.
Here's the thing. The thing for me is that FaceTime is a baby boomer feature. So if you talk to my mom and dad, who are mid-60s, they look at this and they're like, oh, my God, it's a phone. And you can call people using video. This is the greatest. It's like Dick Tracy. And Norm or I look at it. We're all within 10 years of each other, I think, right?
I think so.
Close. Norm's post 30.
Okay. Then
I am pre-30.
Oh, you're pre-30.
Okay.
God damn it. Okay, so we're all within 15 years of each other. Video calling is a feature that I thought was cool when I saw it in 2001. When I was probably 12 years old.
Right.
Not on initial release, by the way. But I've moved beyond that because I had Skype in 1997 and was doing video calls then.
So are you saying that regular folk who are less
non-technical
jaded by
savvy
technology
folk
will be more wowed by this?
Are going to be impressed by this.
Okay.
But I don't think the thing is, I sent my parents a Skype webcam a year ago so that we could do Skype calls and see each other because we live across the country.
Uh-huh.
Two calls.
But then I had the exact opposite experience. My parents live on the other side of the world.
Right.
And
did they use it?
And my parents just got a computer that had, you know, a PC with a webcam built right into it.
Yep.
So, you know, it was all seamless. We had we tried it before. We had, you know, the old fashioned add-on webcam and microphone. But of course, you know, my parents don't know computers. It all becomes a big mess. But once it's all built in, it's easy because there are no connections to have to mess around with. And I did a Skype video call with them.
Yes.
It took a few minutes to get it going. But once it was going, it was like it was the same thing you were saying. It's like they had discovered fire. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. And now every call has to be a Skype call. Like regular phone calls, the first thing they say is, do you want to get on
thing?
Skype?
Yeah, they call you for two seconds and then you pop to Skype.
But does this make sense if it's something you have to hold up in your hand? I mean,
well, not only do you have to hold it up in your hand, as we discovered, you have to get the MySpace angle on it or else you look...
You
so
definitely,
it's not flattering.
Yeah, you
I mean,
be
Skype works
right
because
hand.
Your hands are free. You can gesticulate. You know, you're not tethered to the phone.
It's really not that big a deal to hold up a phone like that.
I guess it is. It is couch computing now, right?
And the other feature, which is just, I mean, I guess it's an obvious thing, kind of a no-brainer, but it is a really nice feature that you can swivel it around to be seeing through
the
other camera.
Mm-hmm. Right, you can take somebody on a tour of the Grand Canyon if there's Wi-Fi.
So just like the Apple commercial, the Sam Mendes commercial, it is guy in a hotel room on the bed and girl on the couch with the kids.
The kids aren't going to be.
It's
going to
be. It's all going to be about families and intergenerational.
Families and porn.
It's gonna be
families
old,
and sexting.
It's going to be old grandmothers and grandfathers who want to see their grown
and teenagers.
Kids. And it's going to be people of our age that want to see their baby kids when they're away and be able to actually
and horny teenagers.
And you talked about how older people will be more impressed. At the other end, like little kids, 5-6 year old, looking at the screen and seeing their dad on the phone going hello. That's
no
amazing.
Doubt. No doubt. Okay, so. Let's wrap up the iPhone 4 talk.
The camera.
A 5-megapixel front-facing camera.
Jeremy also, he just sent me an IM. People are saying that the iPhone is also a wider lens, so it's comparable. There's an article in Ars that iPhone 4 is equivalent to 28mm, and iPhone, the 3GS, is more like a 35mm. So you get a wider field of view.
I'm taking some sample pictures. I'm taking some sample pictures right now. Anything else on iPhone talk? Boy, the camera starts up a lot faster on this one.
Well, the shutter is also much faster with iOS 4.
That's actually a bonus that you saw just in iOS 4.
Oh, yeah, the shutter
camera opens up fast.
Instant.
Yeah.
So AT&T aside, because if you hate AT&T, you're not going to get the iPhone or you're going to jailbreak
it,
whatever,
AT&T,
right?
But I'm now, not
one,
getting,
one,
I'm
but having said that, because I just, I like, you know, it's a weird marriage for me because mm-hmm. I love Apple. Mm-hmm. I despise AT&T with a passion.
But your love for Apple outweighs your
It's a constant
love-hate
thing.
Okay.
And the two products are unfortunately shackled together
yes.
for now. I can only
you
imagine.
You love Apple so much that you would sign up for pretty much anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I keep renewing my contract with a network I hate because I love this phone so much.
That's true.
If I can only imagine the what this thing would be able to do if it was on a good network. But as it is, what's been really interesting, the feature I'm actually most interested to hear about, if this is true, is that some people have been saying the new steel band antenna that runs around.
Well, there's a couple of things they did.
It's actually improving fewer drop calls, better call clarity.
Exactly. Steel band antenna, and then also the...
it also picks the network that's least congested.
Yeah, so right now, like the trick on iPhone 3G and 3GS is if you drop to edge, you can almost always connect, even in San Francisco, where things are generally terrible. However, you have to do that manually. The iPhone OS 4 is supposed to do that drop automatically if it detects that the edge network is more reliable or better than the 3G network.
And we've read also a little thing about some people have, when they put their 3GS and their iPhone next to one another, that the iPhone 4 is showing fewer bars. Mm-hmm. But that seems to be, from what I'm reading, a bug with the iPhone 4 correctly
the bars are
showing the bars.
I mean, the bars are. I mean, I can take two phones on the exact same network, two different phones, not even from the same manufacturer. They're going to show all sorts of different things. There's no standard as to what indicates four bars or three bars or five bars or whatever.
But generally, the really good news for people like me who hate AT&T and consider it the big Achilles heel of the iPhone is that this apparently better antenna and some of the other things they've done on the hardware side has at least slightly improved.
Well, this is the fourth generation phone. I mean, they should have gotten that stuff right by now.
But I think what it proves is the fact that Apple's now in its fourth hardware iteration is any problems that persist have mm-hmm. got to be with AT&T, surely.
And AT&T's admitted that. I mean, they know that that's why there's no more unlimited data.
Yes.
Right.
So the upshot is if you do like the TikTok upgrade, right, if you're on a 3G and you're due for the upgrade and, you know, you're okay with AT&T.
Whammy.
There is no decision to make. This is the logical step. 3G, 3GS, you could... It was tough to justify, I mean, the GPS and stuff, I mean, the compass. But now it makes sense to upgrade. There's no reason not to do it.
So some of the reviews, like Engadget and I think Pogue and a couple of the guys, you know, the big reviewers that reviewed it so far have said that at the end of the day, this is now the best
smartphone
on the market. Yeah. And you've only spent a little bit of time with it. Do you think that's going to turn out
too soon to say?
I think that functionally so far, without seeing new apps just for iPhone OS 4 or iPhone 4, it's the same. It's just the screen and the camera. For me, I have a 3GS, so it's just really the screen and camera, not really the speed, noticeably. I still think it's worth upgrade because I can get the subsidy.
But you choose. Now, you're fairly unbiased.
I know people.
You choose to have an iPhone rather than an Android phone, for example.
Correct, because of all my app investment, and I'm more comfortable with that OS. I use the – I don't have it with me right now. The Incredible for a month now. Okay with that. It still doesn't feel – as natural.
It's not as fast.
What's one thing though that the Incredible does that you wish the iPhone did?
Voice,
the widget, widgets, and multitasking.
Yeah,
the real multitasking.
But do you not consider it real multitasking on the iPhone?
No, it's not. It's app state saving and some background APIs.
Well, so for all the jobs you can talk about how true multitasking kills your battery, you've
oh no, battery sucks on the Incredible. Okay. I've had to recharge it at least once a day.
Okay. That's the other thing that we missed when obviously you can't really see this, but you know, apparently somewhat improved battery life on
well, supposedly
the
like
did you have you charged it since you got it?
No, this is I charged it this morning before I left, and we've been using it quite a bit. Right now it's at 78, which is actually
we've been using it a lot. Jacked all the way up.
Camera.
We've been running video and sound through the speakerphone and stuff. So
we'll do a full rundown next week as soon as we get our phones.
I have been at that point where with my 3GS and I'm traveling. I will do that. You find yourself rationing your iPhone time towards the end of the day when the battery's about to die.
Yeah.
If this takes you just a little bit beyond that, that'll be nice.
And you know, that was a paradigm shift because with iPhone 1 and 3G, they didn't have that percentage meter. With the iPad, it's default on, and I assume with the iPhone 4, the percentage meter
is
default on.
That's a nice little tip. Some people may not even know that, but there's an option in settings where you can turn on a numerical
it shows a number.
Percentage next
yeah,
to
it's
your
in
battery.
Usage.
It makes you a little more OCD about conserving
battery.
Yeah, so
you know exactly how much
but you also get to, you know, train your usage patterns to optimize for when you know you'll need to charge. But the thing is, if you have a 3GS right now and you don't have the subsidy, I know many people,
I would be hesitant to go out and buy. My wife immediately wanted one.
And does she have the subsidy?
No, I have the subsidy. She doesn't.
So it would cost. I think there is a not the full $600, $700 price. It is a $400 or $500 price for the 16 gig, 32 gig. Does that make sense? I mean, just for day one purchase.
I wouldn't pay $600 for a phone right now. Yeah. I mean, if it was unlocked, I would. But if I'm paying for a locked to AT&T phone, I would have a hard time paying $600 for it.
But you wouldn't have to, right? Because if you were buying the AT&T phone, you'd be getting the cheaper
price. Not necessarily. You might be getting a $400 or $500.
I know many people who didn't get – I mean, how much did you pay? You had to pay the full price.
Well, I actually had to pay full freight on this one because my contract is such that I fell right in between.
You're in the dead zone.
I'm in the bohica zone where you don't want to be. But the way I look at it is because I didn't have to re-up my contract this year, next year when the iPhone 5 or whatever it is comes out, I'll be right in the sweet spot for the best price.
Okay, so to wrap up iPhone 4 talk, let's see. New screen looks really good. Industrial design looks better in person than it does in the photos. The cameras are awesome. FaceTime seems to work really well.
Yeah, really well.
I mean, all in all, it seems like the kind of total package, right? On all the things that Apple promised have come
true. How do you think, Norm, if you look at previous iterations, so the 3G was this much of a step over 1G and 3GS and now this. Do you think this is in line or a bigger step? Or
it makes me...
I think 3G was a step back.
2020, I mean, looking back, it makes me realize how much of a fool and how... I was in being so optimistic about the 3G and 3GS. I mean, if Will remembers, I was hesitant on the 3GS.
You were hesitant to buy a 3GS until you saw ours running.
I remember sitting with you in a Mel's Diner the day after we got our 3GSs, and we were all blown away by the 3GS.
Because of the speed.
Yeah.
Because remember, I had the broken 3G,
and
we tried loading Peggle right on your phone and on my phone.
I was beating you down.
It was ridiculous.
Okay,
I don't
I've had all the iPhone talk I can take. We're done. iPhone conversation ends here.
To answer your question,
we're stopping right now.
It is the biggest update so far. It feels like a real update.
No more iPhone.
I want to ask you one more question, which is kind of iPhone.
The answer is no.
It wasn't a yes or no question.
The answer is still no. All okay, right. What's the question? Go.
You have
10 seconds.
In the picture, in terms of the broader smartphone market, how big of a deal do you think this is in terms of what this means for Android and just the overall competition?
Well, Apple releases anything. It's the biggest smartphone.
That's a good segue into the next topic.
Because, you know, it is interesting. And, you know, the beautiful thing about having a perfect segue is that every time we have it, one of us has to call it out.
Oh, of course.
So that we point out the good segue. I know, it was good. You were giving me a softball
a point for the segue.
And you kept waving me off.
Well, I thought you were going to go into more iPhone business.
No, I was teeing you up for the segue.
Let's talk about Froyo. Because Froyo's out. Or it's supposed to be out. I was supposed to be out by 2 p.m. Eastern today.
And this is I'm not really up on this.
It's Android 2.2.
Recent version of Android.
Yeah, so
this is
the latest. It's the new hotness.
So at Google I.O., let's put it in your terms, the Google version of WWDC.
Yes.
No, I know some.
Right?
I'm not completely Android.
They did the big announcement that Froyo would come out. I mean, there were rumors before, right? So Froyo has Flash
built in. How Chrome has Flash built into Chrome when you download.
So you can actually go to any website.
Theoretically, yes.
And it won't crash or anything?
I haven't been able to try it yet.
Okay.
But yes.
And there's a new JIT compiler, so apps are faster.
Okay.
And there's a lot of under the hood improvements.
Now, is this faster.
Is
this for me no matter what Android phone I have or just for certain kinds of Android
phones?
That's the kicker.
This is where I get confused. This is what I like about the iPhone. One platform, one box.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Okay, so if you have an Android, it's up to the provider and the carrier, the hardware manufacturer and the carrier, when you get your OS update for Android. I mean, although you can, of course, go in and root the phone and manually update stuff yourself, that's kind of a hassle and something that, as we have discussed, the unwashed
masses
are not
gonna do. How do they provide you with these updates?
Most of the time, it comes over the air. So you'll over a period of 2 days, it'll download the update and it'll pop up with a thing that says, "Hey, there's a new version of Android."
Wireless
syncing.
So it just pushes it.
So
right
it sideloads it straight to you over the phone without having to.
That's
sync
actually
to the
even
phone.
Better than the Apple way, where you got to dock it and there's. A
oh,
whole
it's
thing.
Much better. I mean, it's a standalone upgrade. It's designed to happen without interrupting your data. The chance. I mean, I can't count the number of times I've updated iPhone OS, usually for minor revisions, that it borked something, and then all of a sudden I had to.
Is it doing like a Steam type thing where it's preloading it into?
I think it trickles down when you're on Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So the upshot is Froyo is available now. 2.2. I would say that Eclair 2.1, which is what shipped on the Nexus One, the Droid got updated a couple of months ago. 2.1 is the first kind of real mainstream friendly version of Android, because the 1.x revisions were kind of nerd friendly, but not something I would give my mom or dad.
That was my feeling when I first played with some Android phones. I played with the Droid. I think it was the first real one that I played with.
Yes.
And I got the impression it seemed like very cool, but it almost kind of felt like Linux compared to Windows.
Well, I would say it's Windows compared to Mac OS. But
that's also a good analogy.
You know, the thing that's changed about Android, and the thing that I think Google has finally realized that customer experience, that user experience thing is super important to the success of their phone. Because I know we're just talking about Froyo now, but the next version, which I don't know if it has a name yet or not. Gumdrop or
there is a name. It starts with G, right? So
clearly, it doesn't matter.
I forget.
Groyo. The next version, Gingerbread. Thank you, chat room people. Choco crazy. The next version is going to focus much more on user experience. So they know that the menu animation being slow, and it's more that it's inconsistent than it's particularly slow. I mean, frequently the browsing will be fast, the moving the icons, the launching apps and all that will be fast. And then the next time you do the exact same thing, it'll run at a third of the speed that it did the time before. And that kind of inconsistency, I think, is a bigger problem than actually being slow. Because if you look at like early iPhones, original iPhone, iPhone 3G, which were pretty slow by today's standards, they didn't feel slow at the time because it was always the speed you expected it to be. There was no inconsistency. If you know, the scrolling was always the same speed. The tabbing from page to page was always the same speed.
So my other question about, because I'm genuinely trying to learn this stuff, is this almost feels a little bit like a console gaming versus PC game. Like if I get it by an Xbox game, I know it's going to work on my Xbox, and it's the same on every Xbox. And that's
now we're not going to. Now that's a religion. We're not getting into this religious battle here about console
versus
PC.
Mac versus PC.
How do they make Android work across a whole variety of Android phones, some of which are more powerful than others, some of which have bigger screens than others. It's a non-standard platform.
Well, there are standards. So there's standards related to resolution. There's standards related to CPU capabilities. There's standards related to 3D capabilities. They have certain requirements for like input. It has to have an accelerometer. It has to have a camera. It has to have a compass. All that kind of stuff.
Right.
For certain revisions of Android. So if you have if you have Android 2.2, then that means the apps that run on that will require a certain version of the SDK, which this is all stuff that's transparent to the users. I think now the app marketplace even filters, so you won't see apps that aren't available for your phone OS version and hardware, which was the problem earlier on. In the old days, when 2.0 came out, Android 2.0 came out, you could actually go to the Android marketplace and see apps for Android 1.6 that wouldn't work on your version of Android or the phone.
And because your update is dependent on your manufacturer and carrier, the old phones just won't get the update. Some phones are stuck on 1.6.
Right.
So HTC Hero is
1.6
forever.
Or something, you're stuck with that.
Seems like it's probably not a good thing.
If you've got something up to date like an Evo or a Droid, then you're all
you will eventually probably get the update.
One of the things I would hope is that Android phone developers, especially for the kind of high-end smartphones, not stuff like the not the supercharged feature phones like the backflip, the Motorola backflip, which is on AT&T and is super gimped. But things like the Droid and the Nexus and the Incredible is that the manufacturers will say, okay, we're going to support new versions of Android on this platform for the 2 years that this contract is going to last. I don't know that they're going to do that, but it's something I've heard.
See, that's kind of the flip side. As much as I like the idea of the update being pushed to me invisibly, I don't like the idea of not knowing when or even if I'm going to get the latest OS, depending on what my phone or my carrier. That's their decision, and I'm in limbo until.
Well, but I mean, Apple does the same thing. If you have an iPhone 3G, I mean, you don't care because you upgrade your iPhone every year. But if you were an iPhone 3G user and you didn't have multitasking, now you'd be pissed off.
Right.
So Froyo's out today. You can install it. It seems like you can install it if you have a Nexus. The other phones are a little more up in the air. We have a story about it going up shortly, I think, right, Norm?
Are there ways that you can get around the carrier and just download this?
Yeah,
you
can always. I mean, that's the nice thing about Android. It's open source. So there are even third-party ROMs. Like there's a Cyanogen mod and there's a bunch of other different ROMs that are custom versions. If you think about it in Linux terms, it's like a custom version of the distro.
Right.
So where the default is Ubuntu, if you want to put SUSE on, then you can.
Right.
So the other big Android news from today is Motorola.
Supersized Droid!
Announced their newest phone. So, you know, Droid came out last year. And Droid, I think, was a big milestone for Android. Because
Droid was the first mainstream.
Which really felt like
first
the flagship
mainstream
phone.
Android phone.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because Droid is actually licensed by Verizon from
it's
Lucas.
It's their marketing
Lucas
term,
film,
yeah.
Right, even though the phone that came out is Motorola. But Motorola today, the Droid X. And the first Droid had a keyboard. This one is not the Droid 2.
We've had the Droid Incredible in between that as well.
That
right?
was made by HTC.
Oh, okay.
See, that's why you're confused.
But so if Motorola, so who owns the name
Verizon,
Droid?
Verizon. Lucas.
No, no. So Android.
Well, obviously Lucas, but Verizon licensed it. And then do they then sub-license it to the manufacturers?
And then they promote it. The phone, because okay. Motorola sells the phone to Verizon.
Okay, I get it.
But that's where you're confused, right?
Yeah.
Droid Incredible, Droid, that's where Motorola kind of felt
screwed. So there's
over.
Four Droids right now, right? There's the Droid Iris, which is a HTC phone and similar to the
and
Hero.
And it's on its way out, yep. I think
it's
I read
done.
Today. Yeah.
The original Droid with a slide-out keyboard and the weird D-pad.
Yeah. Which was just called the Droid. There was no Droid by Motorola.
The Droid Incredible.
Yep.
Which is the HTC phone with TouchSense UI, which is HTC's custom UI, which again impacts your ability to upgrade to newer versions of Android and things like that. And then, of course, the new Droid X, which is a 4.3 inch. It's the Evo 4G
bigger.
Minus the 4G.
Evo 4G
slightly
is
bigger
only is 4.1.
And for Motorola.
So there was I think starting with like the Hero and even the Nexus One, there was a arms race, right, for big screen because. That's what
this,
people
this
call
seems
out.
Like the stupidest arms race ever.
But you know what? It didn't seem so stupid a year ago when everyone's like, iPhone's only 3.5, Nexus One is 3.7. It's OLED.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you when we started seeing 4.3 inch smartphones.
Well, obviously, now,
I said,
in hindsight,
look, this
stupid.
Is dumb.
It was stupid when we saw the 5 inch smartphone.
I felt the same way. I've obviously seen a lot of ads. Like for example, there's the Evo 4G. Seen that all over the TV, all over the internet. I've seen the billboards, and when I saw. It, for the first time, I went into Best Buy and saw an actual unit on the kiosk. It was barely smaller than the one I saw on the billboard.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous. And I've got to
ask
myself,
like, there was a giant cup of soup next to it.
Are they responding to what they? Is there market research that indicates that people want
huge
phones with huge screens?
People like numbers. It's just like big laptops, low power.
But it does not look practical. I was like, I don't have a pocket where this would just... It's not going to fit in my
You need to wear cargo pants exclusively.
You need a big shirt pocket or something, or cargo pants.
This was the pre-tablet world. Think of it that way. When the only way on the go, if you wanted to browse a web page, was on your smartphone, your Android phone, your iPhone. And if you had a 4.1-inch phone... A website is arguably going to look better on that with high resolution than a 3.5 inch.
Sure, but now it almost seems like these phones
are
almost
right.
kind of moving into like a new fourth category that exists somewhere between existing
the fourth screen.
And
did
an
we
iPad.
Just invent the fourth screen?
I think maybe we did.
It's between it's like, a tablet and a smartphone.
If only my phone was, if only this was a bit bigger, but
it's
not as big as an iPad, but somewhere in between, I'd be thrilled.
So the Dell Strix is actually 5 inches, and they kind of initially marketed that as a tablet, but also would like to point out it has a 3G. Connectivity
it
radio.
Did actually give me a little bit of screen envy when I saw the Incredible and particularly the 4G. It is quite seducing
spacious.
The way that the screen goes all the way to the edge.
Oh, that's
and you go and you look at an iPhone where there's these huge blank areas at the top and bottom of the screen.
Where do you hold it?
That's a very
that's
good question.
That's the thing. I mean, after using the iPad for 3 months, I wish that there were more bezel on
don't
the
you,
iPad.
But don't you just hold it around the edges, around the rim?
On the smartphone?
Yeah.
I would assume so, yeah. I mean, on this, you hold it here. But you want to, it's good to have some
people.
To
people complained about the size of the bezel on the iPad
it's
until they realized
enough.
They actually needed that border to put their thumbs on.
I need more space because I frequently turn pages.
Yeah.
When I'm reading a book or something by jamming the left side of the page. Anyway,
so you thought the Evo was big at 4.1?
Is this thing even bigger?
This thing is 4.3 inch.
And the Evo is what?
4.1.
Okay.
Right. And so this is in between the Dell Streak and the Evo 4G.
It is what the Evo was to the Nexus One. It's this.
And is that
to the Evo.
So it's like the DSi XL, basically.
Kind of.
It's the same thing,
just
jumbo
size.
So,
quick one down to specs. It runs a 1 gigahertz Texas Instrument processor.
So Core A8 or?
It's ARM.
Well, ARM A8 ARM or ARM A9?
I think it's A8.
Okay.
And it has 8 megapixel camera,
nice.
720p. It's basically the answer to the Evo, because Evo is Sprint only. And this is
but
the Verizon,
which is the Evo's main selling.
This
point.
Is no 4G, but this is Verizon's new.
Although 4G
best
is,
phone.
I mean, what is
4G
actually?
4G is WiMAX. It's not really 4G.
Okay, but my question was going to be, what really is the coverage area of 4G? 4G
29 cities in the United States, not counting San Francisco.
Okay,
so not very much. Right
so the
now.
Most tech savvy city in the country does not have the 4G.
We're also one of the worst cell coverage cities in the country too.
Bizarre. So 4G is actually pretty good. I really want to try 4G. People tell me that 4G Live is pretty impressive.
I'm sure FaceTime would be great over it.
I'm sure it would be great.
Yeah.
I just wish my iPad had a front-facing camera that they could magically unlock in software.
So here's the, I know we know people, a lot of people with original Droids and who kind of felt ripped off once the Incredible came out.
Yes.
The Droid was a little slower than the Incredible and it came out. you know, Apple, going back to Apple, their strategy is one every year. You know when the updates
are coming. You know you buy this iPhone 4 is good for at least a year.
If you're an early adopter, you know you buy every year. If you're the TikTok guy, then you know you buy every 2 years. With Android,
you need to buy every 3.5 months,
It's every 3 months, right?
So there's always something better right around the corner because so many suppliers are doing their thing.
That's right. So many handset makers. The Droid X, if you're on Verizon and you're due for an upgrade in 2010, you can get the Droid X for $200 with the rebate. Which is not bad.
Okay, so Droid X, is there a release date on it?
July 15th.
July 15th.
And this is Motorola.
Price is going to be $299. Okay.
$299 with $100 rebate, so $199.
And how much memory have they announced yet?
I think like the Droid is memory card based.
So like a 512 mega flash.
Touchscreen only?
It's touchscreen only.
Do you think the physical keyboard in phones is dead?
I do.
Nope.
Because people love it, but wasn't the Droid, the original Droid, the last one to even have one?
There will be a Droid 2. So Droid X isn't the Droid 2.
Okay.
There will be a Motorola Droid 2 with
a keyboard. Have a physical keyboard.
Is Droid X like Weapon X? Is this Deadpool? Is a Motorola
Droid
X
just Deadpool? Droid X.
Oh, hold on. Or is Deadpool's Weapon X, right?
No.
No, that's Wolverine.
Wolverine is Weapon X.
Yeah. What was Deadpool? Weapon X one?
Well, no, they were all created out of the Weapon X program.
No, I thought the numbers were.
No, I think Weapon X was the.
Norm is going to. I'm trying to taunt Nerd into a.
Surely someone on the internet knows the answer to this.
Yes. Weapon 11 is Deadpool. Thank you.
Okay, there you go. Okay, but you do think physical keyboards are dead.
I mean, I think it's another age thing. I think they'll continue making phones with hardware keyboards for the older folks. And that people who are...
There's a whole generation of kids that are just grown up. This is their language.
There's two things happening, right? The kids who are really serious about texting all use hardware keyboards.
There's Swipe now.
Swipe is not a replacement for a hardware keyboard.
Are you sure?
I use Swipe.
I love Swipe.
Swipe is okay. But
have you used Swipe,
problems.
Gary?
What is that, like a new graffiti type?
So, Swipe, the guy who invented like the T9, like, you know, you tap the old... Typing on a
you know, the thing
numeric pad?
Yeah, with the 9 keys you type
and the predictive
in.
And text. Predictive text.
I don't think I do know that.
Yeah, you do. It's the precursor to... You may not have used text on the phone before you had an iPhone.
Okay.
Anyway, the upshot is you'd hit 2, 6...
Oh, that's what that is. Yeah, okay.
So the guy who invented that now has the same thing but for touchscreens, virtual keyboards. And what it is you gesture. So
it's not even that. You just draw.
You draw the line
that connects the
letters and
the word.
And it knows what word you want to. And that just, it's still in beta, but that will come with the Droid X. And I think they opened the beta up this past weekend, so you can actually download it and install it on your Android
phone.
Anytime
you have to learn a new kind of gestural language, though, it never seems to take
It's on top of QWERTY.
It's on top of QWERTY. So you can still hunt and peck if you want. Literally, instead of tapping, you just...
And it, you know, whoosh, 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 and it seems to work really well. It's just not very well integrated with the phones yet. And I'm still a little skeptical of it. I had a really hard time when I tried to
switch. I like it a lot. It's fast.
I think you're young. Your brain's not wired for tap typing.
I think the real last holdout for physical keyboards is going to be BlackBerry. That's where, you know, people still want.
Corporate likes. Yeah. I mean, when you're dealing with people who traditionally have their secretaries print out their mail, print out their email for them,
right,
so they can
read
it.
Right.
The hardware keyboard is a necessity, I think. Yep. Let's. What other news do we have? Anything else this week?
Did we talk about a new Xbox? I know we got ours like day after we did the podcast. Actually,
I guess we
week.
Did. Yeah. So, new Xbox. We've had them here. I've been using it for about a week now, almost. I'm a huge fan. I've thrown out my old Elite. It's gone.
I have one in this box right now.
In fact, most likely because it no longer has a huge fan.
Well, it has one huge fan instead of two smaller, faster fans.
So it's a bigger fan, 120 millimeter, which means it spins slower.
Okay.
So yesterday I took one apart, which was interesting. Basically, the interior hardware is the same. The big difference is that the CPU and GPU, which used to be two separate 65 nanometer chips, are now 45 nanometer chips packaged under a single die. So that means one big heatsink fan instead of two smaller ones. One big fan that exhausts directly outside, or actually I think it sucks in and then blows out the back. The overall chassis is much smaller compared to the old one.
I was actually a little bit disappointed by how much smaller it wasn't.
It doesn't.
No
look
one
that
called
much
it
smaller.
Slim. The slim was something.
It doesn't even need to be slim. It just doesn't seem overall that much smaller. You'd think the amount of time that the Xbox has been out. I mean, what, 5 years now?
Yes.
That they would have shrunk down a little bit more.
Here's the thing. It's smaller than it looks. Because when I took the Falcon motherboard, which is the second, I think the second hardware revision of the Xbox after Xenon, that was the one with the smaller GPU that supposedly fixed the red rings but really didn't. The motherboard is actually bigger than the Xbox, than the new Xbox. Like the surface area of that motherboard is bigger than the whole thing. It's significantly smaller. When I put it in the hole left by my old one in the entertainment center, it looks smaller.
Right.
It's not, I mean, and of course, it's sitting next to a giant PS3.
So much quieter.
Much, much quieter.
So there's a point of contention here.
Yes.
About what SKUs there are. And so what happened was that
I went to the store.
We went to Best Buy. And you and actually Matt Bodega from Giant Bomb went to Best Buy on Friday because we called them up and they had 15 units in stock. We didn't get one for free like some people did. And when you went to Best Buy, you found it on the shelf and you clearly saw it was the new Xbox.
There's no way to
mistake it for an Elite.
No, it's in a whole new box.
Whole new box.
It says
box.
Connect ready.
Exactly.
Smaller box.
You took it to the register and something was wrong.
Yeah, right? The price was low.
The price was MSRP was supposed to be $299. MSRP, what did it ring up for?
I think, including tax, it rang up at about $270, which would put it at an MSRP of about $249.
So that's not the price of the Xbox that they launched. So you looked on the top, and what did it say?
Well, I looked on the top. It said 120 gigabytes.
But
the one that I was trying to buy was 250 gigabytes.
That's the only
one. So foolishly, I just took it back, put it back on the pile, and grabbed one of the 250 gigabyte ones, not thinking that this was an unannounced product. Since then, Microsoft has said that there is no 120 gigabytes.
They have come out and they
corrected
put
us.
The kibosh on
they
Giant
they
Bomb.
Didn't kibosh. Well, but we made it. I mean, I made a mistake. I should have taken a picture of it. Or bought the actual device.
Why would they release a second SKU and not make any noise about it at all?
Well, and not only were they not making any noise, they deny it. They say it doesn't exist.
My theory is that they want to peak the initial sales of this 250 gigabyte model.
But it's in stores.
But the thing is, well,
it's in the store room. So it's in the stock room.
Commenters in Giant Bomb said that GameStop had received a cheaper SKU and were told not to sell it. I don't know what this means.
I don't want to talk about it, frankly.
I feel a little uncomfortable about the whole thing.
One thing I've been quite surprised about is I went out to the store looking for one and couldn't find one anywhere. They seem to be sold at everyone. I'm wondering why, who's buying them? Are these like hardcore people that just have to have the newest version or people that held out and didn't want an Xbox until they saw this one?
I have an Xbox in my living room or the big TV and it has 20, it's the original Xbox with 20 gig cards.
The launch premiere, right?
Yeah. That's 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it hasn't red ring yet, which I'm lucky, so I never had to send it in, but I know it's going to red ring eventually. I keep that in the living room. I got the new one. That's going to go next to my computer monitor. And that's going to be my computer monitor.
Here's the thing.
Machine.
At this point I use the Xbox as much for streaming Netflix as I do for playing games.
Right.
And most of the games I play, I copy the hard drive before I play. Because if I'm playing Red Dead for a month, then I don't want to wait for load times and I want to minimize the fast travel delay and all
and
that.
And on 250 gigs, you can install a lot.
You can install everything. And I have like 20 gigs of Rock Band music on the machine.
That adds
too.
Up too.
So, yeah, so, I mean, Microsoft has come out. I think they there was a quote online, there will be a cheaper version. They said a $199 version possibly. They didn't. There's no formal announcement. I think it was an interview with the product manager. The thing is, if you have an Xbox that works fine right now and you want a quieter version, but you don't want to spend $300 on it, my recommendation is wait.
I actually have one question for you guys. This is a request I would make of Tested because this is something I'm very interested to know about.
Lay it on me.
Is the built-in wireless N?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know how that performs
compared to the external one.
The external and with the twin
we
antenna.
That would be interesting
because right now I have mine under the TV.
Yes.
But to ensure that the signal doesn't get blocked, I actually have
my
wireless antenna. Well, I have it on a USB cable so that the wireless antenna can sit where it's gets a nice clean signal.
Yes.
If I'm going to replace that with the internal one, that's all going to go back. I'd like to know if it was still a strong antenna.
We'll check it out.
Here's something interesting. The internal antenna, it's just a USB wireless adapter.
It's a USB thing. I think
literally,
it has a soft
plug. Right, but with no external
antenna.
Well, the antenna could be wired into the case somehow. I didn't see it when I took it apart, but I wasn't looking that closely, unfortunately.
I'm curious to know about that. I was also surprised to see no slot loading drive. It feels like the tray coming in and out is like the new top loading VCR. It just feels like yesterday's thing.
Especially
now.
With the Xbox One, you're supposed to have it.
The only vertically. The only console now in the current market that still has the tray.
I don't
drive.
Mind the tray. I always try to jam discs into the PS3 before, you know, when there's already a disc in there, it's never good.
The
it
biggest
makes a bad
thing,
noise.
And this remains to be seen whether or not this is something I even want, but I do like the fact that Kinect will plug straight into it, and I haven't got to find room for another power brick
power
and
brick.
Another power.
Well, five USB
and I mean,
ports.
Really, the big. There's a lot of conversation right now in the chat room about whether the noise difference really is worth $300. It depends on how you use your Xbox, right? If you have a big, loud TV with a huge fan, you always crank up the stereo really loud when you're playing games, you're not going to hear the fan noise, then probably you don't need to spend any more money on an upgraded Xbox. For me, you know, most of the time I play games, it's late at night, so the speakers are down relatively low. I don't play with headphones in the living room usually. So, you know, not hearing that fan noise when I fire up the Xbox every time is worth a substantial amount of money. Plus, I can take my old Elite, move it into the office, hook it up to my computer monitor, and now I can play games. I mean, we only have one TV in our house. We have a small San Francisco
and
house.
Outside of the Roku box, I think the Xbox is still the best Netflix streaming device.
That's true. It's certainly better than the only one that still doesn't require a disc among
That's
all
right.
three consoles.
Exactly.
I think it's better than the Roku box is slow, in my experience.
So Netflix, you can watch Netflix movies without.
If
big,
I
right,
if I was new to Xbox gaming and I want to go and buy an Xbox tomorrow, is
yes.
this the one?
This is
I,
the one
I should
to get.
I shouldn't get like the because all the other ones got dropped in price, right?
Well, they
I
got dropped
get one
price.
For $159.
You don't want to buy old hardware. I mean, that's my. You never want to buy the old hardware SKU, just because. I mean, it's like the 3GS. You shouldn't go out and buy an iPhone. The iPhone 3GS is $99. Great, save an extra $100. Go get the 3G. Go get the 4 because you don't want to have the last gen hardware. I mean, A, because the even the later models of the Elites have bad red ring problems. I don't ever see think it's a good idea to buy old hardware. I mean, that's kind of what I say.
Wrap it up soon.
Yeah, so I guess that's it for the show today, right?
If you're watching the live stream, the Xbox Take It Apart video will be online on the website later today.
We're waiting on it to compress, I think, now.
And so. If you're listening to this on the podcast feed, it's already on the site.
Exactly. So I guess that does it for our iPhone 4 live podcast spectacular.
Let's give the camera one more peek at the iPhone 4.
What do you want to see?
Just a high-res picture, something nice.
Okay.
A new 960 by 640 wallpaper. All right.
Here's the main.
Here's iPhone 4.
That looks awesome. They want you to lick it, Norm.
Don't lick it, Norm. You may not.
Gary couldn't stop you if you tried. If
I
you
think
went in with
when Norm
right
gets
now.
When Norm has his own tomorrow, he can lick it to his heart's content.
That's true.
So you guys are really going to be camping out, huh? Maybe even overnight for the phone tomorrow.
It's possible. It's possible. If you're in San Francisco, come by and see us. We'll be at Stonestown.
You guys want to watch a Ustream feed of
us
waiting
to document this adventure?
I think
we'll take a flip and some cameras, and we might even do some live streams.
I can record live stream.
If you had an iPhone 4, you wouldn't need a flip.
You know, Nadrigal has asked about 10 times, would you rather eat bacon off of a Evo 4G or your iPhone 4?
I'd rather eat it off the Evo 4G because I could probably fit twice as much on it.
And you don't want to grease up your iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it gets greasy enough just from your fingerprints.
There you go. Okay, so for Norman Chan, our special guest, Gary Whitta, who, if you guys like, let us know. We'll bring him around more often.
Always happy to come
back. We like Gary.
Only when you have new stuff that we don't have yet.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, days you're better than us.
Really, we need you for your Apple fanboyness.
You know, the very first job that I ever got in the computer game industry
yes.
was on a Commodore magazine because I had an Amiga and they didn't. And it's nice to know that 20 years later, it's still what's getting me in the door, that I have a piece of hardware that you guys don't have.
You should
have.
Bring your Newton next time.
Good to know.
I have my Newton. We should do a comparative.
I used to have a 2600. I don't have. I gave it away.
We'll do a Newton
where
versus iPhone
where it's
4.
Gone, what's happened now?
Yeah.
So for Gary Whitta, Norman Chen. Gary, do you have anything you want to plug before we sign off?
The Book of Eli out on DVD and Blu-ray
and
digital download.
Sunday's game, England versus Germany.
Oh, yeah. So don't forget Sunday, England versus Germany, and Saturday, USA versus Ghana.
Wow, we're still in?
Both should be very exciting. You won the group.
Awesome.
That's why
I don't know what that means.
Won it outright.
It means you
can maybe we can hang around after a little bit and you can explain how this whole thing works.
I'll explain it to you afterwards.
Pretty much everything I know about the World Cup is based on Harry Potter movies.
What, like Quidditch?
Well, I assume it's the same thing, right? Quidditch World
yeah,
Cup,
it's
Harry Potter.
Yeah, it's exactly
okay.
the same.
So for Norm Chan, Gary Whitta, I'm Will Smith. Thanks for watching. We will see you guys
Bye.
Next week. Norm, people are requesting that you get up on that mic in the chat room.
I'm going to get up on the mic.
Who's Mike?
No. Dun, 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 are they going to be able to see anything?
Hmm. Do I care about that?
Some people care about that.
Okay. Okay, gentlemen, let's...
This is crap.